On today's episode of Talkin' Tom, we're watching what might be considered Tom Hanks' most iconic movie, Forrest Gump.
Forrest Gump is a 1994 romantic comedy drama film directed by Robert Zemeckis and earned Tom his second Academy Award.
So, get ready for a deep discussion about Oscar bait, cultural impact, and the most problematic character we've seen yet.
Run, Forrest, run!
My mom always said, life was like a box of chocolates.
What up, Hanks heads?
What's up, everyone?
Welcome to
Talkin' Tom,
the Bod Hanks Tomcast.
Oh, it sounded like we rehearsed it. Oh, then I cut you off, so I immediately ruined it.
This is the Bod Hanks Tomcast, where we watch Tom Hanks movies, and then we talk to each other about them.
We do, and today is a very, well, not special, but it's like a big Tom Hanks movie day.
Yeah, it is.
We've gone through a lot of movies. We're in like peak Hanks territory, but this is where it, this is the movie. This is like the movie that gave the world the Tom we now all obsess over, I guess.
Mm-hmm. I mean, we could talk about this. This was my introduction
to him.
So. Really?
Yeah. As a kid, I vividly remember Forrest Gump.
Well, if you're new here, my name's Josie.
I'm Daniel.
And we're just a couple of kids who watch Tom Hanks movies. And today we watched Forrest Gump.
We did.
This isn't your first time seeing it, right?
No, I've seen Forrest Gump a lot.
Okay. A lot?
Yeah, as a my neighbor growing up, it was like their favorite movie. And I remember like the VHS of it, and we watched it a bunch. And some of it would get fast-forwarded, because there's like, in my mind there was nudity, but it's just implied.
Yeah.
But in my mind, it was like, there's naked people.
Yeah. Is there even a boob?
I don't think so.
I'll admit right now that I fast-forwarded through the sex scene. I like 100% was like, I'm not watching this.
I think there's some side boob action.
Nice. Well, before we talk about the movie,
yeah,
we got to talk about something.
Okay.
You're suffering an injury.
Oh, yeah.
Are you okay talking about it?
Well, I'm sitting on a heating pad because I sneezed really hard and pulled something in my back.
Yeah, Daniel's 45. We have not mentioned that.
Yeah, I read a tweet that I thought was really perfect, and it said, I was 22 until I turned 28, at which point I turned 35. I think that's kind of true.
Well, I'm sorry that you're uncomfortable.
That's okay. I have to sit at a weird... And I'm just, like, really sweaty, because it's already hot, and then I have eating beds. So.
Well, we could turn... I mean, whatever. We'll turn the air on if we need to.
It is what it is. I'll suffer for this art.
Yeah. This is our masterpiece.
Yeah. This is important.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's been very hot around here.
Yeah.
As usual. I'm still doing my thing where I work nights.
Oh, okay. So you avoided the heat a little bit, maybe?
I seem to. Well, this isn't my first time watching Forrest Gump, either.
Okay. When was your first experience with it?
I mean, I think I've only seen it one other time.
Okay.
And it was, I was in high school, I think, or middle school, and I was at my friend's house, and it just came on. The movie just came on TV.
Yeah. And I feel like that was super common for
her. Yeah. Back when I had TV. Well, it was her house. I don't have TV now. And we watched the whole thing.
It's funny to think about, because I did the same thing. I remember watching this with friends, and it's a pretty long movie.
So it's 3 hours, right?
I guess I never, it's like 2.5, yeah. Right around 2.5, but I never considered it super long as a kid, but I watched it a ton and I would have like correlated, but I guess as a kid you skip through stuff and you want to get to the part you like.
And I think we missed the first part of it. Like, remember when that was a thing that you would turn on a TV?
And it's like in the movie, but
well, I already missed the first part, but I guess I'll just keep watching.
Yeah. You're like, why is
with
he at a bus
commercials?
Stop? Oh man.
Infuriating. Barbaric.
Yeah, we're done with that. Well, I say we're done with that, but like I saw a news article today that Netflix is going to like put commercials in their stuff now for their content. Oh. And I was like, aren't we paying? Isn't that why Netflix became a thing? Because like, what if we didn't have to do that? Whatever. Different conversation for my other podcast, Talking Netflix.
Talking
streaming.
Talking streaming.
Talking television.
Talking
alternatives.
Consumerism.
Great, we have a whole lineup of great things ahead.
Well, I guess let's just get into it.
Yeah, let's jump into this beast.
If you were describing this movie to someone who'd never seen it,
mm-hmm.
How would you describe it?
How would I describe it? It's sort of like Tom Hanks' magnum opus of likability. So Tom Hanks plays Forrest Gump, who is a, as the Wikipedia describes it, a slow-witted gentleman.
Yeah.
It's a strange line, but I think that's the appropriate descriptor.
Yeah.
Because, like, he's not... He's just, he takes the world in very differently.
Yeah.
In a very endearing way.
He misses out on some important social cues.
Yeah, but still, like, is the most optimistic. He's basically, so Forrest Gump is this insanely optimistic person who kind of just agrees to everything that comes his way and sort of moves through this portion of history in his life in the time frame that he lives, which is in the 50s, 60s, and 70s.
Mm-hmm.
And it's sort of just about his life and all the world events he goes through. And there's a story that he's retelling his life story as the narrator to the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And so he could be an unreliable narrator or...
Right.
We don't really know. But he's basically has this really extravagant life story that he's telling to someone at a bus stop, multiple people,
mm-hmm.
On his way to meet someone. And that's sort of just the story.
Yeah, he's just telling...
It sounds really simple when I tell it that way.
A regular guy
who's
had a lot of extraordinary things happen to him, and they just don't seem to faze him at all. Like, that's just his life.
Yeah.
He doesn't know any other life. So this movie is kind of a beast. We watched it separately. We didn't watch it together.
Yeah, it's hard. We have hard schedules and hard to put 2.5 hours.
Yeah. And this episode's coming out late because Daniel's a really awesome guy and let me postpone it. I was having a really bad day and I just think it would have been a bad podcast.
It deserves the proper time. It's a beast.
Like a monolith of a movie. Directed by...
Robert Zemeckis.
Who's also done...
He did Back to the Future.
Okay.
He did... Who Framed Roger Rabbit?
Cool.
Recently, he's done like Flight, and he did like Beowulf and Polar Express.
Oh, Polar Express! We watched that.
He's had a few little Tom Hanks crossovers.
This is a big movie.
Yeah, it's sort of weird because it's less like one big movie. It's like little vignettes, like little mini stories within a larger story.
Mm-hmm. All kind of tied together.
Yeah.
So Tom, like you said, plays Forrest Gump. Movie starts, Forrest is a small boy who has polio.
I don't quite know what he has.
I mean, he has something where he can't walk very well.
I think he has like scoliosis or something.
Polio would not make... Can you die from polio?
Yeah, I think that we fixed polio. But back then. Yeah, he has a problem with his spine.
Yeah. So he gets these braces on his legs, and I don't. I guess it's not worth like describing every single thing that happens in the movie, but he's bullied, and he ends up kind of only having one friend in his life, one true, lifelong, forever friend named Jenny.
My question is Jenny really his friend?
Yeah, Jenny's problematic.
Yeah, we'll come back to that, but
yeah, Jenny. Oh, yeah, let's talk about that before. Forrest has a very specific way of speaking.
Yes.
That's hard to identify. It's not an accent.
No, have you seen the interview where he explains where he got the accent from?
No.
So the kid who plays young Forrest had an accent like that, or he was using that as an accent. So rather than... The initial idea was Tom Hanks would come up with a character... voice, and then they would teach the kid.
Uh-huh.
But he was so taken with the kid's accent that he made that into the voice.
Wow!
So that became
okay.
The one we
all know. So it's kind of like a southern. He lives in Alabama.
Yeah.
So it's got that little bit of like
southern
twang.
Yeah.
But then there's also like you're reminded that he's got some kind of developmental like disability.
Yeah. It's a good manner. If you the theme song we open, you know. Life is like a box of chocolates. That's old Forrest. If you didn't know. If you're you know, ended this episode at this point, you're like, I didn't know that
was
from this movie.
Our theme song is a bunch of Tom Hanks quotes. Yeah. So Jenny and Forrest have an interesting friendship that... what's like the best way to talk about this movie? Do we talk about it
linear? I don't know. I think following it in chunks of the story makes sense because it's sort of his life periods and what the people do to him effect. I think it kind of works.
Okay.
I don't think we normally do it this way where you break down the story, but for this, because it's in like vignettes, that connect his life, but each one is like a kind of specific, I think, works. So we start, you said he has leg braces. he's being bullied, and he ends up meeting Jenny, who becomes his good friend, his best good friend, as he says. They're young kids. Jenny comes from an abusive family with her father.
Yeah, it's not really explained. It's all implied.
It's very carefully...
Which I wonder... I was having a hard time kind of figuring out in this movie if what we see is it exclusively through Forrest's eyes, and that's why we don't get full picture.
I think it's supposed to be, because we hear him explain how he takes it.
Uh-huh.
Because he doesn't understand it completely.
Yeah. But and then so, we get enough visually.
Yeah. We get a little more. I think we're allowed to know a little bit more by what we see versus what we're told.
Mm-hmm.
But otherwise, I think the movie likes to keep us at Forrest's level of what he's comprehending, and then we can take in other things we see, but we're never explicitly told. Mm-hmm. If that makes sense.
Yeah.
But they pair off and kind of are these outcasts together.
Mm-hmm. Forrest grows up without a father.
Yes.
Jenny has a father.
Yes.
Who doesn't treat her well.
Mm-hmm.
And she's eventually just, like, taken away from him.
Yeah.
Which is cool.
I think it's the police take her away, and she goes to live with her grandma, who lives close to Forrest, and they get to spend all their time together.
Yeah. Forrest and his mom live in this ginormous big house,
mm-hmm.
so beautiful, that operates as, like, a boarding house.
Yeah.
So that's how the mom makes money.
Mm-hmm.
It's just cute. He meets a lot of people.
Elvis.
Yeah. It's like, when we talk about these, like, extraordinary things that have happened to Forrest, it's like, I literally decided to just start writing them down because it's insane. Like, he's the one who teaches Elvis how to dance.
That's a very Robert Zemeckis thing.
Yeah.
He did, in Back to the Future is the same thing where Marty goes back in time, plays Johnny B. Goode
at
the talent show, and the guy on the phone is like, it's your cousin, Marvin Berry, and he's like talking to Chuck Berry,
uh-huh.
which is insane to imply that, like, the yeah, another conversation, but
yeah,
it
kind of takes away the beauty of, this of idea the personal that, creation. Like, that's funny.
Well, especially in that context, because you're like, a white man actually did this. And I'm like, oh, okay,
take away your entire history.
Yeah,
yikes. So Forrest seems to be pretty close with the few people in his life that take care of him, and that kind of shapes the rest of his deal.
Yeah, and his life sort of walks around. We see him, we spend a little bit with him as a kid, and then him as a teenager, where he's clearly still like 30 or 40, but, you know, it's whatever. But he basically, sort of his crux, the way he deals with problems is to literally want to run away from them.
Uh-huh.
And in doing that, he runs from these bullies a lot that seem to just grow up and, like, still be bullies.
Yeah.
Which I guess, yeah.
They, like, come to his home to chase him in their vehicle, which is... ridiculous.
Well, now people just do it online.
Right. It's so much easier to cyberbully.
it's weird to see, because you're like, that would never happen, but, like, totally.
I guess you're
in
totally
dark
right.
way. Yeah. But in doing that, literally running away from them, he runs to, like, a football game and then gets drafted to play football. And then with that, gets to go to college on a scholarship. And while he's at college, he becomes, like, their star running back or something. And then in that, gets to go meet the president. And then in that, he's at the school in Alabama where, like, the first unsegregated school comes to play.
Yeah, he, like, literally involved. Desegregates a school.
Yeah. The movie was big in terms of technology, because it was the first time people were taking, like, real pieces of history and including extra things in it. So they would edit Tom Hanks into the background of real footage and then CGI their mouths to move and add more dialogue.
Oh.
So it was, like, these real clips. It was, like, huge. I remember as a kid, and my mom thought it was really cool, too, and I was still trying to comprehend, like, how it all worked. But it was, like, a big deal that, like, that had happened. They were like, this is so cool. It looks so real.
Yeah, that is cool.
And then we watch it now on, like, Blu-ray high def, and, like, you can tell, like, yeah, it's, you know, outdated, but I imagine it was insane at the time.
Yeah. Like, when he talks to the president and says, like, I have to pee.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Stuff like that. So he meets... Once he graduates college, he ends up getting recruited into the Army.
Mm-hmm. It's during Vietnam, right?
Yes. It's really strange because I read an interesting article that Forrest's entire story is people telling him what to do and him doing it. He never makes a decision for himself. He's given braces. He's told to run from his problems. He's told to play football. He's told to join the Army. So it's a lot of, like, these... never him making a choice, always just doing it. You know, he's told to play ping pong, and which is really interesting. He's not a person of he's not making choices. He's just being given things to do.
Yeah.
He does them. And
he doesn't question it.
Yeah.
There's no like critical independent thought really.
Yeah. And I was trying to wrap my head around if that was a theme of the movie. Cause it almost seems like this, I don't know, like capitalist idea of you don't have to think, we've presented everything you want. And I genuinely don't know, cause I've read both sides of the piece. Some people think this is like a movie that is sort of about like American capitalism and like that it is maybe in favor of it because look what it does for Forrest.
Yeah.
But then some people were like, oh, you're reading too far into it. Like,
it's just a movie
about like nice things happening to this person.
Nothing is just one thing.
No, I like when it's detailed. I like when it's not, someone didn't give an obvious, like, you know, the writer and director maybe didn't make it an obvious thing. But like, if you take that from it, it's really exciting because you've got this whole different read. And I think this movie does read really differently the older I get.
Totally.
That I think we'll get into.
Mm-hmm.
So then we jump to Vietnam.
Yeah.
And we meet, what will become Bubba's other, one of, or what will become one of Forrest's other...
True friends.
Best good friends.
Yeah. Bubba.
And Bubba is a young black man from, is he from New Orleans?
I think so.
I can't remember.
Yeah, because that's where they take the boat.
So he meets Bubba, and Bubba's family is in the shrimping business.
Mm-hmm. And Bubba's... just like Forrest.
Yeah, they're both very similar.
Seem to have the same kind of difficulties developmentally. That's why they get along.
They both just seem like very pure of heart, and they connect right away. And they basically, again, Bubba's like, when I get back, I'm going to buy a fishing boat and we're going to go into business together. And Forrest's like, yeah, let's do it.
Yeah.
And he also meets Lieutenant Dan, who becomes a really important part of his life.
Yeah, complicated guy.
Very complicated. So the war goes on. There's a massive battle that ends up killing Bubba and injuring Lieutenant Dan and getting Forrest a Medal of Honor
because
he goes back in to save his whole team.
He, like, saves everybody.
It's pretty... The movie, you know, can play with your emotions, but it is, like, a pretty... Every time I watch it, like, I know it's coming, but I still get a little bit, like, hung up where I'm like, man, this is, like... you've worked me, you know exactly how to work me, and you've succeeded.
We were texting, and I turned the movie off right before Bubba died,
because
I was like, I can't do this tonight.
Well, the entire thing before he goes, where he's, you know, they're like, don't go back in there, Gump, like, you stay out here, and he's like, I gotta get Bubba.
Especially when you've
seen it before, and you're like, I know how this ends, and I hate it.
Oh, my God.
But it's sort of beautiful.
It is.
In that moment.
Because I think it's a really strong representation of Forrest and his his personal mission statement.
Yeah.
Which is just like, he loves so hard and that's all he cares about. He doesn't give a fuck about anything else. It's just the people he cares about.
And it's also one of the few moments where he is actively making his own decision.
Yeah.
Because his lieutenant says, do not go back in. Mm-hmm. Like, well, his lieutenant says, leave me there. He wants to die because everyone in his family has had a person who's died in a war.
Yeah. It's like
he takes him anyway. Mm-hmm. It's kind of the one time where he takes everything into his own hands.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And then I think he describes it as, at one point he's running and something reaches up and
he
bites him.
He got bit, yeah.
And he gets shot in the butt. So the war ends. Again, he gets Medal of Honor. And then at that point, he gets thrown into like the world of ping pong.
Yeah, becomes like a world team player. Yeah.
It sounds like a middle schooler was... brainstorming in their notebook.
Yeah.
And just like was like, oh, no. And then I was in the war, and then I got ice cream, and then I played ping pong.
Yeah, what would be like a really awesome thing that someone could do?
But so specific that you almost wonder, like, what was happening with this?
All-American team ping pong player.
Ping pong
team. He like toured around, he made a living doing that.
Yeah, he ends up making a lot of his money because he gets sponsored to do sponsored ads for ping pong paddles.
Yeah.
And then we move to... he gets to go back to Washington, D.C.
Yeah.
And meets Jenny again for the first time since they were, before he left for the war.
Totally on accident.
Yeah. She's in Washington. I think she's at a rally for anti-war.
Yeah.
Correct?
Yeah, that he just accidentally walks into.
Yeah.
And gives this, like, amazing speech that
we
doesn't
get to hear. Yeah. They think he's against the war, but he was just, again, been like, come talk. And he just gets shuffled into it. And then Jenny finds him, and they... reconvene briefly, but she's like really into...
Jenny's like part of the Black Panthers at this point.
It's like it's the 70s at this point, and she's into Black Panthers and is very much a hippie.
Yeah. She's dating some awful guy, of course, yeah, like the scumbag. Cycle of abuse that she can't help it, that she's...
Yeah, and this is also one of the first times we see Forrest physically react to someone who has hurt Jenny. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. They met once before. They meet when he goes on leave once during war, and she's playing
at He goes to visit her at that all-girls school, too. Yeah, so
this is the second time.
Third time. Well, since the war. Yes, you're right. Yeah. He goes on leave. Yes.
So he visits her at college, sees her playing her music.
Yeah.
Which is... I like those moments in that it's... Maybe we should just come back. We'll do a whole Jenny section.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna get scatterbrained. We'll just keep moving forward with this Forrest story. So following the rally, one of my favorite little moments in this is he is in some hotel in Washington, and Nixon, who's the president, is like, oh, let me put you in a much nicer hotel. I'll get you guys fixed up. And then it turns out that he's the one who called in on the people in the for the Watergate scandal. I love that moment where he's like, there's some people, the power might be out, there's some people with flashlights.
Oh my God. There's so many of those like little random things. When he's on, who's the talk show guy that he goes?
Oh, I forget, when he's with Lennon.
Johnny Carson?
Mate, I don't know.
Whoever. But yeah, he like writes Imagine by the Beatles. That's like, Forrest Gump also did that.
So Forrest comes back and then he makes true on his promise to get a shrimping boat. And there was a point where Lieutenant Dan was like, if you're a captain of a boat, I'll come be your first mate. I think he kind of said it spitefully.
Yeah, he's a dick.
But then he shows up.
He has no faith in Forrest. Yeah. Lieutenant Dan is completely, both legs have been amputated at this point. Miserable guy.
He's miserable living in New York.
So fucking mad.
He hates everything.
He blames Forrest.
Yeah.
Which I guess is understandable.
Yeah, so they end up, he gets the boat, Lieutenant Dan becomes his
first mate something, yeah.
And
the boat is pretty successful after a while.
Yeah, that's my favorite shot in the movie is Lieutenant Dan waiting on the dock.
And Forrest jumps off the boat.
Jumps off and the boat crashes into...
The little pier thing?
Yeah.
That's funny. I saw you put that on your Instagram story.
and Forrest, he is true on his promise. He gives half of the earnings to Bubba's family.
Yeah.
And he visits Bubba's grave, which is, I thought, a really touching moment.
Yeah.
But then his mom gets sick, and Forrest leaves the shrimping business to Lieutenant Dan, which goes swimmingly, because the other thing I had written down was Lieutenant Dan invests some of his money, because Forrest at this point doesn't need the money, and he invests it in what he calls a fruit company, some kind of a fruit company, and it's Apple Computers.
God, can you imagine?
Which is a funny joke in 1994, even funnier in 2018 when they're like the first $1 trillion company.
Yeah, ages even better.
Yeah, it's I'm sure that they're happy about that joke. So mom passes.
Yeah.
Forrest ends up staying in his hometown, and he's so rich at this point that he just kind of mows the lawn at the school. He's just kind of around.
Yeah.
He just doesn't have anything to worry about.
He's been able to take care of the people. He gives a lot of money to Bubba's family, even though he doesn't need to. He just kind of like
just wants to help.
Yeah, he just gets to live the life he
And then wants. Jenny returns.
Prodigal girlfriend.
And he wants to marry her.
Yeah.
And she says no.
Yeah.
And then after that night he asked that, they end up sleeping together, which we'll get to.
Yeah.
And she leaves. She ditches.
She bounces.
And Forrest begins... I don't even know the right word, but he's crushed.
Yeah.
And he just leaves and starts to run. And he spends, I don't know how many years running, I forget it, write that down. But he spends years running from coast to coast.
I mean, like 7 times. Yeah. Like he runs the entire country.
And in the process of that becomes this kind of national hero. Uh-huh. This person who's just, has no real clear reason. People think it might be political. People might be personal, might be for a girl. But he's just running.
He's just running.
And in the process, that ends up making, like, the smiley face shirt. And the Shit Happens bumper sticker. And so much stuff. I mean, he's owed a lot of money, I feel like, for...
Do you feel like that's his decision for running?
I think the run is. That's maybe another moment where... Because then when he's... I like the part where he's done. They're in the middle of the desert.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, I think I'm going to go home. And people want an answer, and he doesn't have one. He's like, I've chosen to be done.
Yeah, I think the running at first is a reflex.
Yeah.
Because it's the only thing he knows.
It's the run from your problems thing.
Yeah, like in the most literal sense.
Yeah. So maybe in a way it is still Jenny and his mom's thing in his head.
Yeah.
But
choosing to stop is definitely his own.
Yeah. And then we jump back to the present, and we're revealed that he's been retelling his story to the people at this park bench because he's on his way to visit Jenny in the present, which is like 1980 or something. And he finally makes it to Jenny, and Jenny is good. She's off drugs. She's off of everything. She's looking like she's trying to make a
life. She's got a job, it looks like.
Mm. And she has a son, and that son is no other than Forrest's son.
Baby Forrest.
Yeah. Forrest Jr. And it's revealed that it's his son.
Yeah,
and
conceived Jenny's that night, the one time they had sex.
Yes.
And what if she's sick? Does she have AIDS? That's what I think.
I think it's I don't think it's ever classified.
No.
But that would make sense, like, in the 80s.
And they say that nobody, like,
she'd been sharing needles and, yeah.
And nobody knows, like, she can't be cured.
Yeah, and with sort of the movie uses so many, like, big moments in history to tell its story that would make sense, because I feel like the AIDS epidemic is about to become the talk.
Yes.
So he moves them back to Greenbow with him and takes care of them until she passes away. But they do get married, and everyone comes to see them. And the movie ends with Forrest back at the bus stop where he spent with his mom, and he wishes him, you know, have a good day at school.
Yeah. I was just looking at...
2.5 hours comes to a conclusion.
Yeah, good grief. Little Forrest is played by Haley Joel Osment.
Yeah.
I know he's got a podcast, so I was going to plug it.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
oh,
that's cool. It's called, like, Bunny Ears or something.
Well, that's awesome.
He's on a lot of podcasts.
Yeah.
Cool dude.
He's been in a few movies lately, and seems like a genuinely cool dude.
Literally the cutest kid ever.
Oh, absolutely. His, some of the questions he asked Tom Hanks in the movie are adorable.
Yeah, it's so cute.
So that's the whole movie in a nutshell, which I think the reason we did it that way is, A, it's just so dense and heavy, but also I think some of the stuff we're going to talk about needs that type of detailed context.
Yes. Who do you want to talk about first?
Should we start with Jenny?
Yeah.
We'll start at the most frustrating and problematic thing.
Yes.
There's a lot of problematic things in the movie, but I think this is,
yeah,
especially in recent years, has kind of come back as like an especially problematic thing.
So problematic. Jenny is of her right mind.
Mm-hmm.
She's a fully functioning adult, clearly has some like issues,
yes,
obviously, that you can't like blame a broken person for the fact that they've been like emotionally and physically abused pretty much their entire life.
By every man in their life.
Yeah, there's some, obviously some important context to her character, but she knows Forrest is different than everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
She's picked up on the fact that he needs to be protected and taken care of, and that he has some kind of developmental disability.
Yeah, and she's taken that, she protects him when it becomes, as a kid, they're just friends, but I think it becomes a thing where she protects him out of, like, when it's convenient, almost.
Yep.
But then Forrest has always had the implication to protect her, and as she gets older, she doesn't want that anymore.
Understandably. Mm-hmm. I mean, she kind of rejects it.
Yeah.
It's a lot. It's a big thing to kind of take on.
Yeah.
And her life is so complicated anyway that I can kind of see why she rejects that and resents him.
Yeah. And I think there's a really interesting story and message tied around that idea that, like, she platonically loves this person, and he maybe loves her more and maybe doesn't quite know what that means 100%. Mm-hmm. And that struggle must be insane to cope with.
I agree.
So I think that idea is really interesting, but then it's the way everything else is presented around it that I find that falls apart because of it.
Yeah. I mean, the night that they have sex feels non-consensual to me.
Yeah.
That's what I always push back on, and even more so. I told you I fast forward. I could not watch it. I felt disgusted at the fucking thought of it.
It is, I mean, it was never correct, but has especially aged as the world, our climate has changed, especially as told up. It's insane.
Forrest is, even the first time they kind of sleep together in that dorm room, and the roommate's listening, and like there the whole time, she like fucking, he touches her boob and he fucking has an orgasm. That's like frightening.
Mm.
Even then, she knows better.
Yeah.
That's what I can't stop.
Sort of like a weird power play that is very uncomfortable.
And I wonder if when the movie came out, is it supposed to be seen as like he gets the girl, like it's his love story?
I think the movie views it as like completely optimistic and like,
yeah,
wholehearted.
Like the guy gets the girl in the end.
Yeah. Like he finally the woman he loved, but the movie presents everything that he loves about her as like maybe kind of fake.
No, and I feel like she fucking is with him out of convenience.
Yeah, absolutely. Nice. He's the fallback.
She shows up after she's had a child and she knows she's dying.
And she knows he's rich and successful.
Wealthy dude. She gets a place to stay. I have a hard time with Jenny as a character.
I the idea that son comes back into the life and he gets to be with his father, but the rest of it, why are you hiding him for so long? Like,
yeah,
what would make you think he would need to be hidden from?
Yeah, must be nice having someone be able to pay all your fucking medical bills.
And I think that there were ways in the story, because there's clearly plenty of time to present more story if you wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
There's stuff that, like, if the movie had some sort of focus on, like, Forrest's sexuality, because it seems like for the most of it is just sort of an ignored thing, like something he doesn't think about.
No, he doesn't even seem to have a desire for it.
Yeah, it's never played up as until Jenny presents it to him in the two situations. Because the same thing on New Year's Eve when he's with Lieutenant Dan and they have the
sex workers,
he doesn't want it. He doesn't want them to kiss him, doesn't want anything to do with it. He's Jenny's his person.
Yeah.
My God. And I kind of think if that were slightly more focused in, that if there was, if it was clear to us as the audience that there was an awareness, it was something that he wanted, maybe even verbalize it as something he wanted and made it a consensual thing, that scene would be that shift would make the movie very different and would fix issues.
Yeah.
If it became a consensual because this conversation had happened or something that we knew Forrest was aware of, because the movie presents it, he doesn't know what it is.
And I keep wondering, all the other people in Forrest's life, like Lieutenant Dan shows up at their wedding and he seems like, you did it, man. Like, you got that girl that you've always loved.
I think the movie thinks that the audience will love and be behind Jenny and Forrest being together.
But wouldn't Lieutenant Dan think it's confusing that Forrest has sired a child with this woman who's been basically running from him her entire life? That's problematic. What does Forrest's mom think of Jenny?
Yeah, we also don't really know. Do we know much about how Jenny and Forrest's mom know each other? Because as a kid, she always sneaks in to see him.
Yeah. No, not really.
Huh.
I mean, we also know, I just remembered, Forrest is kind of introduced to sex in a very weird way when his mom fucks that principal so that he can go to school.
Oh, yeah. Just extra.
Which was such a baller scene. When he's like up in the room, he comes downstairs and Forrest makes fun of the guy for the sounds he makes during intercourse. It's like fucking just bizarre shit. Like some of the stuff in this movie.
Yeah. So this is a movie without, there's not a villain necessarily, you would think.
Right.
But I think the antagonist of the movie is Jenny.
Yeah, she's the bad guy.
You could recut this with some different music and like make it clear that every time she appears, like this person is dangerous.
Yeah, she's there to take from Forrest, purely motivated by her own self-interest.
Yeah, I think in the beginning as a kid, maybe even to the teenage years before college, there is a true friendship there that blossoms. Yeah. And then it sort of becomes, Jenny comes into her own and like starts to figure out what she wants and is dealing with her past traumas. There's a shift happening.
Yeah.
But it's always at the expense of Forrest's
who's just like state. Undying in his love for her.
It would also be a completely different thing if there wasn't a mental issue with Forrest.
Yes, yeah.
If it was just dude and a girl.
Mm-hmm. Completely by the definition of his disability, he is unable to consent. And it's hard to fucking watch, dude.
Yeah,
it's just weird.
It's weird.
And maybe we're not like, maybe everybody else does feel this way. I don't like talk about this movie.
Well, I was bringing up like how many times I've watched it as a kid to now, where I never thought of anything but happiness in the movie until I got into like high school and college, where then I suddenly was like,
wait a second,
actually this is sort of weird. And then into my 20s where I was like, oh, this is actively incredibly weird and very wrong.
Yeah.
But as a kid and a young teen, it just seems like this really sad, sometimes a really optimistic and like heartfelt movie of love and family and friendship and American history.
Yeah.
So I guess it shifts the older you get, but...
And you do kind of walk away, I think you're supposed to, walk away from this film being like, I feel good about this.
Oh, yes. Like, yeah, I think so too.
Fucking strength of the human spirit, like...
And to a degree, that's why the movie's so strange to me, because to a degree you do, in that Forrest has accomplished so much. He's actually, he's a hero.
Yeah.
He's invented countless companies. He's stayed true to his word. He's helped his friends, and now he's fathering a child and, like, looks like a great dad.
And seems to be, yeah, very happy in that. It's not, doesn't seem like a burden on him.
And I hate it. I hate it, too, because the point where he goes to Jenny's grave is so, from a performance perspective, is beautiful.
Yeah.
Where it just, like, crushes you, but at the same time. I, literally have shivers. I know. Like, it makes my eyes water. But at the same time, you're like, but Jenny is evil.
You can't see it, but she's been manipulating you your entire life.
Yeah, and that's why I kind of agree with that take, that so many of the things Forrest does is just people manipulating him.
He doesn't know any better.
Mm.
Like, yeah, he just does what he's told.
And that's, yeah,
sometimes it works out.
That's fascinating.
It is really interesting. I didn't really make that connection until you said
There's a few. Maybe we'll post some of the stuff I was reading. But there's a lot. And since there was just an anniversary, was it 25 years?
Uh-huh.
94. Wait, so next year's 25.
Yeah.
So I imagine next year we'll get some, because usually a lot of like film criticism that I read, they do retrospectives, and I think we'll get some really interesting stuff about Forrest Gump.
Yeah.
We're ahead of the curve.
Yes.
And if they plagiarize us.
Yes. We're happy to speak as the experts on Forrest Gump.
Okay. Well, what else you got there?
Well, I don't know. I guess Lieutenant Dan is kind of an interesting character.
Yeah.
At first, I think you're supposed to hate him because he's so mean to Forrest.
Yeah, but he's so smartly casted because he's very charming.
Yeah,
and you hate him.
And it's just like his whole arc like makes sense to me.
I think he has a very complete and interesting arc.
The whole thing of him, kind of thinking it's his destiny to kind of die in the line of duty.
Yeah,
is fascinating.
So the story with that is a relative of his has died in every single war,
mm-hmm.
On the field of combat.
Scene where it's like him.
Yeah,
they all look just like him.
Different. And he's played by Gary Sinise, and he's so good.
So good, you just understand him, and then he's so mad at Forrest because he wants to be dead, but he isn't.
Mm-hmm.
And he doesn't. I mean, who am I to say that that's like the fucking good thing that he's alive? Like, any of us aren't even.
No, because I think him not dying breaks his spirit.
Yeah.
He becomes this hateful and
drunk, like
drugs and women and living in New York and just basically in a cesspool of depression.
Yeah. And Forrest kind of saves him again.
Yeah.
By bringing him to be part of this fishing business, shrimping business.
He just seems so stunned by what Forrest has accomplished, and which makes sense because you haven't seen him in the war, and then what he's doing afterwards. Like, I'll come do it with you. And it's interesting. I was rewatching it now. I was kind of watching for things. I was like, does Lieutenant Dan find a way to take advantage of him? But he doesn't. He works just as hard. And that scene where he, you know, jumps, he falls into the water, and he swims around, and like really comes into his own.
Uh-huh.
It's like really nice. You're like, here's someone who's had
his life has been shifted. I do like him. I like him better than Jenny, that's for fucking sure.
And then he shows up at the wedding at the end, and he's got his prosthetic leg.
Yes.
And he's
like titanium
something,
right? It's like pretty new style.
And
new
he's technology. Met, he's got a fiance,
and
he's got a haircut, and just looks like, you know, he's back to being
probably rich as hell from investing
Dan.
In Apple.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And, you know, how much money they've got from shrimping.
Yeah.
So, yeah, by the end of it, he's... I don't know, he's come around.
Yeah.
And I like it because I think that there's a little bit of overlap where he came into leg issues and has now gotten corrected in the same way that Forrest started with those.
Yeah.
So there's a kind of a line between them.
Yeah, isn't there a moment where he says, like, do you have any idea? Like, you have no idea what it's like to live without your legs. And Forrest's like, yeah, I do.
Yeah.
But then he never elaborates.
Yeah, so I think there's like a little bit of subtext of kind of their
why
they connected and end up working.
Yeah. Who else? Bubba?
Yeah, Bubba, which I think we talked about.
Yeah, pure
very
friendship.
Pure of heart.
Have you ever been to the Bubba
Gump? I've never been to Bubba Gump Shrimp.
Well, I know what we're doing this weekend.
My family has.
Really?
My parents love this movie.
Okay.
We did growing up. I don't know how often they ever revisit it. But
okay.
We didn't have Bubba Gump Shrimp in Oklahoma.
Right.
But they'd go visit. I don't know where they would go, but they would bring back Bubba Gump Shrimp hat. But we've talked about it. We're going to go eat a Bubba Gump Shrimp.
A mini set.
We're
going to
do a mini set. We'll talk about Bubba Gump Shrimp. Which should be interesting because you're vegan.
Right.
You're going to a place called Bubba Gump Shrimp.
I literally don't know what I'm going to eat there, but...
We'll search the menu, and then if not, you can just critique the fact that they need to expand. So.
Yeah, we'll make it a very different podcast. you know, there's a... I have a photo of me... Maybe we should save this for the minisode, but...
Okay.
Really quickly, there's a outside of the Bubba Gumps that I've been to in San Francisco. There's a bench with... A suit. It's like the bench that Forrest is sitting on, and I have a photo of me sitting. You like put your feet in the shoes that he's wearing, and I have a photo of me like I think I'm making like some dumb face because I definitely hadn't seen Forrest Gump at that point, so I didn't know what the movie was about. I'll see if I can find it.
Bubba Gump Shrimp in L.A. is at the Santa Monica Pier, I believe.
I think so. Yeah.
And at the Santa Monica Pier, there's also two Zoltar machines.
Oh my God!
So a little
we'll make
time.
A day of it.
Well, and he runs to the end of the Santa Monica Pier in this. So. Wow.
I just was thinking of the soundtrack in this movie. It's pretty good.
Yeah.
Don't they play that Go Your Own Way? One of the Fleetwood Mac songs.
They do. I don't know enough about the history of it, but I know that this movie is part of the reason that every single Vietnam War movie or video game or television thing includes that certain style of music. A lot of it's like Creedence Clearwater Revival is like because of Forrest Gump.
Cool.
There was like a lot of great like rock music in that scene, and that like has made that so iconic in people's minds that it's just in every chunk of pop culture. Anything
really
involving Vietnam War.
I mean, we can't ignore the impact that this movie's had.
Yeah.
I mean, crazy. Fucking cool.
It's the fact
that there's an entire chain of restaurants on some random like Oscar bait movie. It's pretty cool.
The only other person I think we should talk about is
his mom?
Mrs. Gump. Yeah.
Yeah. I like her.
She is, I don't know, do we know the circumstances of what happened to her husband?
No.
Forrest? Okay.
I mean, probably, but I don't remember.
She is also someone, I think, it makes a lot of sense why Forrest is the way he is, because she is someone who will do anything to make sure that her son's life is better than hers, and that he lives as normal as can be.
Yeah, she doesn't ever treat him differently.
No.
She's always there to take care of him.
She reprimands people who do.
Yeah, she seems like a good mom.
And, I mean, she opens up, she makes her house into, like, a boarding home for people, and seems like people really love her.
Yeah.
We don't spend a lot of time, in my mind, we spent more time with her, but we really don't.
No.
We spend
and it's
time
Sally
with
Field, which is also, like, we've seen her and Tom in Punchline.
Yeah.
Right? Anything
yeah.
else? Is she in the, what's the movie that we watched with the neighborhood?
The Burbs?
The Burbs. Is she in that?
I don't think so.
Okay.
But yeah, it's weird because they're like around the same age, but...
Yeah, she plays his mom.
They give her some age makeup. Like, we've seen you guys kiss. This is weird.
Ew.
We just spent a lot of time with her, but I thought she was an interesting character. I mean, she's mostly there to make you feel awful as things go sad. Let's be real.
Yeah, and she also gives us the iconic quote...
Yes.
Life is like a box of chocolates.
A lot of great quotes. Stupid is as stupid does.
Yeah.
That was always my favorite.
Okay, I just like, honestly, life is like a box of chocolates is kind of a shitty metaphor.
Yeah. You never know what you're going to get. I'm like, no, it tells you on the back.
Yeah, you literally get a piece of paper that tells you what's in it.
See's Candy sells really different boxes and you pick, do I want dark chocolate? Nuts.
And it's also just like, I don't feel like life is like that. Is it?
I mean,
you kind of know. You know, if you're fucking born into a rich white family, your life's probably going to be chill.
And, I don't know, I really don't like the, like, chocolates with cherries in the middle.
Yeah, fuck, we're nougat.
So I'm going to know what's in the box.
Yeah, I'm not biting into some chocolate, I don't know what's inside of it.
Yeah, I'll take a knife and I'll cut it open to make sure first.
Yeah.
But maybe that's some sort of metaphor of, we can do that.
Yeah.
You can look in the box.
True.
Maybe there's some darkness
what's
there.
What's in the box? Okay. Oh, I thought it would be kind of funny. I don't know if this is offensive or not, for us to try to do the Forrest accent.
Oh, okay.
What should we say? We should say life is like a box of chocolates.
That or just any of the quotes.
What do you want to say?
I like stupid as a stupid
okay.
does. See if I can do it. My mama always says stupid is as stupid does.
That's good. My mama always says stupid is as stupid does.
My dad did this voice a lot.
Really?
Because he's from Oklahoma and he has a southern draw, but he always would say stuff like this with an exaggerated tone. So
there was a girl in my high school whose name was Jenny, and we always would be like, Jenny!
It's the same way. I had a good friend growing up named Jenny, and we always be like, I would never hurt you, Jenny.
Oh.
Little do I know the context girl. Now. Yeah.
Well.
Is there any... I was trying to think of anything else. I was curious, what do you think? This is just a thought I've had. The movies from Forrest's perspective, as we've talked, do you think any of it is exaggerated to a degree that we only know it from his angle? All these positive and sad things, but this weirdly optimistic take to everything.
No, I feel like we get a pretty fair representation of how everybody else reacts in the scene.
Mm. Well, the people, like, hearing the story don't believe it half the time.
Oh,
like,
that's right. Except for that one lady's, like, crying her eyes out.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is pretty unbelievable.
Yeah, absolutely. If someone at a bus stop told me that.
And they're just so nonchalant about it. Like, he's just like, oh, yeah, and I own that shrimp place. And the guy's like, what? No, you don't. I think we get a pretty... I don't know. I guess what would we be missing if we weren't getting the whole story?
I don't really know.
More context for why Jenny's a fucking predator.
Yeah, maybe. There's a few interesting things that I had discovered in doing research about the movie as a whole, mostly in themes. One's the feather.
Yeah.
When you see the feather, do you take anything? Do you read anything of it?
I know I'm supposed to, but I don't really know.
Yeah, I always took it as part of like the you never know what you're gonna get type of thing. Where like if you're light and you just kind of go with the flow,
which is what Forrest does.
Yeah,
that's
the wind shapes him.
Yeah.
Kind of like the people in his life do. And
yeah.
Of what they make him do. There's a quote from Tom who he interprets the feather as, our destiny is only defined by how we deal with the chance elements to our life. And that's kind of the embodiment of the feather as it comes in. Here's this thing that can land anywhere and then it lands at your feet. It has theological implications that are really huge.
Mm.
And Sally Fields says, it blows in the wind and just touches down here or there. Was it planned or was it just perchance?
Hmm.
I think it means a lot. I think it's sort of all up to interpretation.
Hmm. This movie's based off a book.
It is. And there's some controversy behind that, too, that I read.
What's that?
The author was paid for the rights to the book.
Okay.
And he was also at a percentage agreement. So whatever the movie make, he'd make like a few percentage points of profit. But the way that the accounting of the film was done, they made it, even though this was a huge success, box office success, they made it as if they lost money. So he never got
all
money.
All movies do. Mm. Snakes.
So I know that was a...
So the guy who wrote the book didn't get as much money?
He didn't get the percentage he was promised. Because
that's fucked.
He eventually was settled and he was paid something that we don't know. Apparently there's a sequel
really?
That he wrote called Gump & Co. That the rights were bought from that author again following when they fixed everything, but the movie was never made.
Well, good, because it probably would have been trash. It sounds like it's like a comedy of errors or something. Gump & Co.? Let me guess. It focuses on the Bubba Gump Shrimp Factory, and it's just like not even Forrest in it.
Let me look right here. I got this little page open. it's a continuation. It chronicles Forrest's life through the 80s.
Baby Forrest in it?
Yeah, according to the cover, he is. I see him, and they're sitting on the bench.
Aww.
And then the other controversy that I see is people's political interpretation, which I think we kind of briefly talked about, because Tom Hanks says that the film is non-political and thus non-judgmental, that it kind of lives in like a purgatory middle space.
Interesting.
It shows you stuff, but never takes... Jenny takes a side, but if we're with Forrest, then Forrest doesn't take a side. He is just in these moments, never quite having an opinion.
Yeah. I guess we see the direct impacts of war. I mean, the Vietnam War is hard not to politicize.
Yeah, and... That's sort of the argument with it, is it seems to promote that conservative agenda that I was talking about earlier. Or is it an indictment of the counterculture movement? It's sort of a weird...
Well, yeah, if Jenny is a bad character and she's against the war...
Is she representing what the filmmakers don't like, potentially?
Yeah. I don't think we're supposed to love Jenny. I don't think, circle back.
That's where I'm torn, because I kind of think...
I mean, we see her. It's like not a negotiable... It's like not up for interpretation that she's taking advantage of Forrest.
Yeah.
Especially in the beginning.
But I think that they try and build a sort of story of the cycle of abuse that she's in, where then we pity her, and so then we don't think so hard on her actions, where we're like, no, like she was going through stuff too.
She found a man who will take care of her and respect her. That's interesting. Fucking Jenny.
Then my final thing that I was going to bring up is sort of the weird way this movie has aged in terms of perception. Mm. So the movie won Best Picture, Best Actor for Tom Hanks, Best Director, Best Visual Effects, Best Adapted Screenplay, and Best Film Editing.
Okay, didn't know that.
And then it won a bunch of Golden Globes, Best Actor for Hanks, Best Director, Best Motion Picture Drama, and then a bunch of other awards. You know, it's all over the place with Best Quotes, Best blah, 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 blah. From a critical perspective, it was pretty well regarded. But from a cinema score perspective, which is just like audience, it was hugely like A+, like people loved it, seemed to be universally loved it. Now I come back and a lot of people that I follow and really respect have really mixed opinions on it, ranging from middle of the road, like there's a lot here, which I think is where I'm at. There's a lot here to love. There's a lot of great moments, but there's a lot of problems that really just kind of tear the movie down from where it could be. Some people still actively love it. I don't know if they look past that or maybe just have not seen it recently enough to like really take in, or maybe that issue doesn't, maybe that's not how they take it. Maybe to them, they see something we don't.
Yeah.
Maybe to them, there is a discussion there that I don't find.
Yeah.
But maybe. And there's like the realm of people that are just like the lowest rating, but like this movie's trash. Okay. This is trash. Never like Tom Hanks is great, movie's trash.
Yeah.
Where they just can't watch it. They think it's maybe, you know, conservative trash in some situations.
Interesting.
So it's really weird to see, because it sort of looked back on, when I think of the public spotlight, I think so positively, like when I think of movies from my parents' point of view of sort of this wide, the general audience of middle America, beloved, but then you get into like the more deeper stuff or the people writing film criticism and it's like a mix to hate.
Mm-hmm.
So it's weird. It has a very strange legacy.
Yeah.
Like it is clearly in pop culture forever ingrained.
Always, yeah.
But has really shifted, and it's just kind of fascinating because of that. Because there are things in this movie I love and think are really interesting and great and heartwarming, and then like stuff like Jenny that you're just like, how?
Yeah.
How did this happen?
How do we look past this?
Mm-hmm.
Well, do you want to talk about what you think of the movie?
Yeah.
Are you there?
I think I sort of already gave it away.
Yeah.
I'm middle of the road. This movie, it's so strange because it was really important to me growing up in terms of I watched it with friends and family and always found it to be entertaining and thrilling and hilarious. And then the older I get, the more I look into these things that just went right over my head that I now think are absolutely unacceptable.
Yeah.
I still find a lot of the movie very charming, and Hanks is unreal in it.
We didn't talk about that really.
Yeah.
His performance sort of is like unprecedented. Yeah.
He has a ton of great performances, and I feel like this is the easiest one to be like, watch this one. But really, I mean, his range and what he gets to do in this is nuts. Like, he's the most lovable human, and it's on full display here.
Yeah.
But yeah, I have found that the older I get and when I revisit this, it does fall for me. It feels longer than I remembered it.
Mm.
And it's harder to ignore the stuff because it's so ingrained in the story that you can't just piece it around it anymore. Yeah. That I think I maybe thought I used to.
Yeah.
What about you?
I don't like this movie.
Yeah?
I hate saying that because I love Tom Hanks, obviously. But as I continued to watch it, I just kept... It's like really hard, like, obviously, to ignore the fucking rape.
Yeah.
By Jenny. That's really hard for me to... I'm like angry thinking about it. And I'm sorry. That's really hard for me to look past. Especially because it's not addressed. I don't think it's given the respect of the implication. I don't think that the movie addresses that. It's just gross to me. But also, this movie is such obvious Oscar bait. Like, it's just so obvious what they're doing, and I get it, and I'm sure it was a fucking massive success. Clearly, it worked. But as a viewer, I feel like this, it's just, everything's too obvious. Mm-hmm.
We get there's no, it is all on the nose.
Yeah, there's no nuance. It's like a poor, disfortunate kid rises against everything working against him and comes out great on the end. He gets to kind of take advantage of black people.
Yeah.
To do it. Which is also a problem. It's like, this is the whitest fucking movie I've ever seen. It is so white. And not even just in the sense of, like, there's so many white characters. Like, everything that happens to him is so white.
It's just, like, white privilege of the movie.
I really feel that. Even, I mean, I know he's, like, kind of impoverished and has obvious disabilities. But it's just, like, fucking Bubba's family.
Yeah.
Deserves a little bit more attention. I don't know. I'm an asshole to get so heated. I didn't think that I felt this way until I watched it. And I was like, oh, I hate this movie. I didn't want to finish it.
No, my biggest struggle with this is that growing up, the movie meant something different to me. And yeah. It's one of, like, the key examples in terms of, like, a filmography that you revisit, that coming back to it, when I think less of it, I almost think of, like, it somehow lessens what it used to mean. But
yeah.
No, instead I have to, like, realize that, no, I've grown up and I now have, like, a brain that has opinions and, like, knows how the world works, and I can now look at this differently and, like...
The world is different.
Yeah.
At this... Like, it's just a different time. Which we're kind of noticing in quite a few movies that we've watched together. But this one, it's, like, more prevalent than ever that we just, like, lived in a time where, like... You throw one or two sympathetic black characters into a movie and, like, boom, you get every Oscar that ever fucking could be won. And I just... Obviously, Tom's performance is incredible. Everything he does is beautiful, wonderful so far that we've watched. There have been a few movies where... I've never, like... Even the movies that I hate by Tom, that Tom's are in, it's never because of Tom as a performer. That's not the point. No,
he brings the A-game.
He, if anything, is, like, the reason this movie works. Because he goes so all in on this character, and
any nuance that exists is in his performance.
Yeah, it's a wonderful characterization. It's just, it's good. And I'm sure, I don't think the book was even as, like, impactful as this performance is.
Never read it. Yeah.
Me either. I'm sure that's why nobody really, wow, I'm, like, fucking dragging this movie. I mean, and this movie is, it's almost like, the way that I hated Bachelor Party was a different way that I hate, than the way that I hate this movie.
This is, like, a frustrating hate.
It's like a...
Bachelor Party is just something that cannot exist anymore.
Yeah.
This is, like, this frust... Because there's elements of what could be and what is there, and it is all, like, buried by this...
Yeah.
Garbage.
And it's like, problematic disguised as, like, a feel-good family movie.
Yeah.
Like, it's... There's something very sinister that is hard. There's
a darkness to it.
There's a darkness. I definitely...
That makes the most sense why the general audience would love this. And then the second you start to break it down beyond
that... It's very palatable.
...entertainment thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
It is. It's so easy to... That's the thing you said. Like, if it's on TV, it's easy to just break in and watch because there's these little moments and you can... I know where I'm at. I can enjoy this. Then you take it as a whole and you're like, oh. Or you don't. And maybe you can just keep loving it for that and it can just keep being entertaining to you.
Mm-hmm.
And...
I don't know, man.
I'm excited for next year because I'm excited. I hope people, we get a lot of stuff. Because I'm looking at people on my letterbox that I follow and really respect their opinions of, and it has a really just a big variety of choices from different ethnicities and men and women and how they take it and how they remember it versus how recently they've seen it. And I think it's really fascinating.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm, like, sweating.
It's because I turned the AC off and I had a heating pad.
No. Wow.
Yeah, but I don't know. Yeah, maybe.
Well,
I think that's... Does that wrap up?
I think
that puts into words everything we want to say.
I mean, I'm not in any rush to watch this movie again.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
No, that's... Sorry, there's Tom. So much iconic moments that are burned into my brain. It's like, no, there are great parts of this, but then
that I've you can genuinely just write a super compliment. Yeah. Sorry, I'm, like, literally just talking over you.
No, that's exactly. I was saying that you could make a cut. You just, it's like YouTube. You go onto YouTube and watch those moments that you fondly remember.
Very sweet.
Because then you can ignore the problematic things.
Yeah, just get. I mean, and even Jenny is okay.
Yeah.
There are some parts with Jenny that I love.
And we didn't compliment Robin Wright's really good in this.
Yes, yes. I mean, yeah, Robin Wright isn't Jenny. I'm like, okay to like Robin Wright. Like, I know that that's like not her. And she's just, she did a great job making me feel ways about her as a character.
Yeah. I think there's a lot of complex things that they could focus in on her and make it really interesting that they don't.
Yeah, and maybe they are, and maybe we're just like blinded by rage.
I don't.
Speaking for myself only.
It's, I mean, it's written by a dude wrote the book, dude wrote the screenplay.
Yeah.
Maybe if there was a different person in there to work together with him, they'd have a view that could be a nuanced character. And maybe someone would have been like, no, no, no to that.
I think if they made this movie again, that sex scene would be addressed differently.
Yeah.
I think
Jenny would be addressed differently.
Yeah.
I think you get a team of people that could write a story that it represents everyone.
Yeah. All right. Is that it?
I think that wraps up the discussion of Forrest Gump.
So that means that it's time for our favorite segment.
The one and only. Hey, thanks, everybody.
I saw your face like get really excited and then you realized I wasn't joining in and it fell. I'm really sorry.
It's the movie's fault.
It's the movie. Yeah, sorry, I'm still heated. Okay, so on kind of a just reshifting gears, Hanks Happenings, the segment where we just find out things that Tom Hanks has been up to and we talk about him.
Kind of like a Tom Hanks RSS feed.
Right, and I never want this to feel like a tabloid. Mm-hmm. I'm, like, not into that. And I kind of sift through those things when I type in Tom Hanks and, like, you know.
Yeah.
He's on vacation in Italy with his wife. Like, fuck, okay, cool.
Sweet.
Let him do that. Something big that Tom Hanks has been taking part in and kind of lending his voice to lately is he's been working on a campaign with Michelle Obama and other big figures, Lin-Manuel Miranda, kind of focusing on getting people to register to vote and to vote in the midterms, the upcoming midterms, which is neat because Tom, for a really long time in his career, at least from what I know, doesn't really talk much about politics.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he was open that he was like voting for Obama and those things, but he's never like been the kind of guy that's like, fuck these things, this is bad. And that's kind of partly why he's probably been so like universally beloved.
Yeah.
Because people don't know where he stands. Line. But especially with the new administration, he's been very vocal with his distaste. So it's kind of cool that he's like, I mean, whatever you think about whatever about politics, and I don't know that this podcast is really the place for that, for you and I to discuss it. I mean, maybe we'll see. But voting is a good thing.
Voting is always a good thing.
And that's kind of the point of it all.
Yeah.
So it's cool that Tom is kind of joining up and encouraging that.
Thanks, Tom.
Thank you, Tom. Are you registered to vote, Daniel?
I am registered.
Me too.
I was an absentee ballot when in Oklahoma because mm-hmm. I thought I could do good there. And then now I'm registered in California because
you kind of had to. Now.
Yeah.
No other choice.
Yes, cool. Yes, yes.
Well, what about any other segments? I like to read reviews.
Yeah, we got some talk Tom to us.
A really nice one. Someone
with some cool choice words.
Yeah, they said that unlike what you'd think the podcast is about, this podcast is not just a circle jerk for Tom Hanks. Which is easy to think that it would be.
Oh, and yeah, I'm you see glad. The title, you're like,
two assholes talking about how much they love Tom Hanks. Surprise, listen to the Bachelor Party episode. Anyway, that's really nice. This person in particular is really excited for the terminal to be discussed.
Oh, cool.
Which I am too.
That's a cool, that's a not a movie I hear in the realm of excitement getting about. That's awesome.
Yeah.
We'll make sure we do it justice.
Yeah.
To the best of our ability.
So, thank you. Thank you. This person's username is not satisfied with AT&T at all.
Wow.
Thank you for writing in.
I mean, if that's your username, you must really hate things. AT&T. And so the fact that you liked us is a very heartwarming to me.
Have you got any talk Tom to us?
I don't have any talk Tom to us. I've had a few very kind texts. Like, we got one just a few minutes ago that was like, I'm starting the podcast. I'm finally listening. I'm like, 20 episodes in. 20 But I did go, my funniest realization is I went to go see Mamma Mia, Here We Go Again.
Oh, what did you think?
I really liked it. But you know who executive produced that movie?
Tom Hanks and Rita Wilson. Yeah.
I had to like double take. I was like, what?
I just recently watched the first one with my roommate, and it says like Playtone or something at the beginning, and I was like, that's Tom's production company.
I don't know how that happened, but I'm glad it did.
What an icon.
Megan, Mamma Mia, great stuff.
Here we go again.
Well, on the roster, our next movie will be Apollo 13.
The Final Frontier.
That's Star Trek, but yes.
Oh, right.
Space is the Final Frontier. So here's what we got. Apollo 13.
Uh-huh.
Toy Story.
Oh.
Then we have the writing and directing debut of Mr. Hanks with That Thing You Do.
Oh.
And then Saving Private Ryan, You've Got Mail, Toy Story 2, and The Green Mile to wrap out the 90s.
Does it get any better than this?
Maybe the 2000s? I don't know. There's some good
just
stuff.
Knowing what you and I have forward to look forward to.
Yeah.
The journey that we've been on and are continuing to be on. This is my life. This is my dream life.
But we're also getting closer to the Da Vinci Code movie.
Which I can't wait for us to argue about.
There are three of them.
Every movie we get closer.
I feel it in my gut.
Well, cool. So, all right. I guess if you're interested in continuing the conversation with us, you can find us quite a few places online. We've got a Facebook group. We've got a website, talkintom.com. That's talking without the G. We're on Instagram, Twitter, SoundCloud with the username
PodHanksTomCast.
Which is my legacy.
Yeah, you done did good. That's your best good legacy.
Thank you. Daniel. And we're just going to keep trucking along. Thanks for giving us the time to come with this episode a little bit later than usual. Daniel, thank you for giving me the mental health day that I needed. Very important. And I can't wait to keep going.
See you next time.
Cool. Is that it?
I think so. What was your name?
I'm Josie.
And that makes me Daniel.
Yeah, who are you?
Yeah, Daniel. Yeah.
Thanks for listening.